Hello, good morning. I'm Tony Wilson. I'm a member here at West Kirby United Reformed Church. And today my talk continues the theme started last week by our Minister Louise on connections. It's a four-part series which looks at what difference it makes to life having a relationship with our Lord Jesus and with each other and with our community in the new life we share together in the Holy Spirit. From a Christian viewpoint, we could call this the new normal. And in this second part of the series, I'm going to retell a story told by Jesus about a plant growing up to produce good fruit. It's a parable, which means it's a story with an inner meaning to be applied to our lives. And then I want to tell you how this story impacted the lives of Liz, my wife, and myself, in a particular time and place. For Liz and me, it's important to live in the family of God's people wherever we are. It's central to our lives. The church is a worldwide family, but we're rooted here in West Kirby, on the Wirral. In our lifetimes, the world continues to exponentially become more connected. TV, computing, the internet, smartphones. Most people take for granted the World Wide Web. And in the last few years, we have Facebook, more recently Zoom. But connection does not of itself make for relationship. Because at an interpersonal level, relationships have a tendency to break down, to become compromised. And that's the issue that I want to look at today. And last week, Louise explained that we're made to connect. We're made for relationship. We're made for relationship with each other, in community, and with God. But the problem is this, that we live in a distracted world where relationships keep breaking down, they fragment, they get compromised, and it becomes the harder to mend them once this happens. Once trust is compromised, it's the harder to restore. The role of the church in this is to be the community of God's people, seeking to connect our community to Christ, modelling a life made new in the words of Jesus, which we'll look at today, that this is to his Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be, he says, my disciples. This is in the passage we'll look at today, but what essentially we're looking at is that Jesus is calling us to be made new. Salvation, in Christian words, to roll back the consequences of sin and to live with each other in fellowship in a Christian community and to live in our wider community with a renewal that we can offer. Connecting our communities to Christ, connecting your communities to Christ, is the strapline, the vision, and the calling of this church. This is the centre of what we are and what we do. Right now, life is springing to life all around us. The clematis, for example, is climbing over our garden fence in flower, looking beautiful, despite the impact of the coronavirus. And today our story is about growing things, living, growing together, the vine with its harvest of grapes. The parable of the vine can be found in John chapter 15, and we're going to have a look at that. And also I want to take you on a journey. I want to tell you a story from our own experience. I want to tell you how the story of the vine impacted on us. Well, all good stories start with a once upon a time. So are you sitting comfortably? And then I'll begin. Once upon a time, when I was a young man, I was madly and deeply in love. I am still in love, but in those days, it was madder and deeper. It was a warm August bank holiday Saturday. The traffic was snarled up, heading for the coast, in this case, the East Coast, and Skegness in particular. I wasn't myself going there, but I was in the town of Boston in Lincolnshire, on the main road to the coast, and the traffic jams wove through it. I was supposed to be meeting a coachload of visitors coming from Birmingham for a special occasion. I was providing them with refreshments when they arrived and before the event. I travelled the day before to avoid mishap or accident. But the guests were delayed. I knew that because it was already time for, or close to time, for the event to start. They should have arrived. Indeed, everybody else had arrived. I had no idea what had happened to them before the days of mobile phones. What to do? There was the problem. I didn't know. I was out of my depth. There were events planned through the day. It was no trivial matter because the event in question was our wedding. One side of the church was already full. The vicar was inquiring what was happening. And I didn't know what to do. Fortunately, my brother-in-law stepped in and took charge. The wedding was pushed back by about an hour. Liz was told to wait at home until she got the word. Finally, the guests arrived. There was a mad flurry of girls getting changed into their wedding outfits in the vicarage. The bride walked down the aisle. The service began, and the reading in the service, would you believe, was the story of the vine and the branches. Let me read it to you from John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So why did we choose that reading? Have you ever heard it at a wedding? I've never heard it at a wedding before or since. But the explanation of why we chose it is to do with the fact that this story of growing things, life in Christ, had it really impressed me in previous readings, in previous times. And when we were planning our wedding service, it really impressed itself on me deeply as to what Christian marriage should be. A place where we as a couple were united in Christ in a living and growing way. Our commitment to each other was to be a shared commitment in Christ and a wider commitment in the church and in the community. We invited the Holy Spirit into our relationship as a couple, and we had a sense that our life together was to be lived out in community, and that, as Jesus said, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That was 45 years ago or so. Thank you, Liz, for many years of happy marriage. Much has changed, but the commitment remains. There are three wonderful things in this story of Jesus for each of us. Firstly, that it's a living and growing relationship that is at the very centre of our being. The life of the vine is one where the sap of the Holy Spirit rises up in us to enable us to grow and develop. We become infused with the life of the Lord Jesus, cultivated by the Father. Secondly, a relationship with each other within the vine, within the fellowship of the church family. Relationships with each other live and grow. They're not contractual. They're not subject to, for example, terms of an employment contract, but they are an infinitely, 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 a richer set of relationships, infused each one with the new life of the Spirit. Relationships with the Lord Jesus and each other are life enriching and life changing as the Holy Spirit works in us. Thirdly, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This invites us to seek the very heart of God, asking him to bring about his will in our lives, in our fellowship, in our community, nation, and world. In practice, most of our relationships fall short of this model. We are all compromised, we all sin, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But we are to be encouraged, because do you see in verse 2 that while every branch does bear fruit, that Jesus causes it to be pruned by the Father so that it will be even more fruitful. So we have to hang in there, so to speak, like a bunch of grapes in the vine. And Jesus tells us in verse 7 that if we do remain in him and his words remain in us, we should ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. So our connections in Christ and with each other are recoded into our very being when we become Christians, and so much about life then is different. So what does it mean then to ask of God? Well, what we should do is to speak out to God that which is in our heart, and he will respond with the Father's love. When we pray, we may speak our deepest desires to the Lord, say what is really in our heart and mind, and he will work this out in our lives and to his glory. This is a wonderful truth. In other words, God values each one of us in our personality and our circumstances and relationships, and causes us to be, in our new life, infectious to those around us in a good way. My own experience is that life is very mixed. It has its good times, praise God for those, and its hard times. It can often be a school of hard knocks. But in all of this, we are growing in the love and the blessing of Christ. So now I pray that we may know that life-transforming power of the Lord Jesus in our lives and in our connections, as his Holy Spirit brings new life through us. So for now, God bless us all. Remain connected from the inside out. God bless you. Amen.
Thanks, Tony. That was Tony, who is one of our elders at West Kirby United Reformed Church.